It's time for the
What in the
podcast.
Have you ever been alone in the woods and heard someone call your name? Maybe somebody you know, a parent, a brother or sister, and you know that they're not in the woods with you? Have you heard them beckon you into the woods only to hear the voice, the same voice, coming from the other side of the area you're at? Have you ever seen a figure out in the distance waving at you, but you have no idea who it is? Well, if you have, you might have had an encounter with the flesh gate. Tonight, we're going to talk about the flesh gate. Also, I'm going to point out it's going to be a short episode tonight because we are all a little sick. But we hope you enjoy it anyway. Welcome to episode 135 of What in the Podcast.
Begin audio transmission.
Welcome to the What in the Podcast. With your hosts, Kent Whittington.
And Adriana Comito.
And Tracy Lynn Hernandez.
Hello and welcome to the What in the Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hiya.
Hiya.
This is hiya.
Well, first of all, before we start anything tonight, I want to apologize to our listeners. I've been, Adriana and I have both been sick for the last week.
Still sick.
Yeah, our nephew was kind enough to bring a cold home to us, a flu
bug
or something.
I'm thinking this might be RSV because you and I have the nasty cough that won't go away.
Whatever it is, we both got it. I'm a little hoarse tonight, which is it's a great sight better than
Are
what
you
I was. Funny, no. She's referring to a pony that we know.
No, it's anyway, not a pony. It's a mini.
Whatever.
It's a mini horse.
Is a thing what got four hooves and runs funny and bucks and farts. That's all I can say.
Yes, she does. She's a weirdo.
Yep. Anyway, that's not why we're here tonight. We're here because we're doing a podcast. And again, I apologize. I am a little hoarse tonight. Don't say it, dear. I was a lot worse earlier in the week. I had a good case of laryngitis. I could not speak at all. And, as it improved, my voice seemed to go higher. You know, it was like entering puberty again. You know, you talk and the voice goes higher and then lower, and whatever the case is. Anyway, but we're here as promised. We're doing a podcast tonight. How are you doing, Tracy?
I'm doing pretty good. Stepped out of my house this morning to go to work and put my back out, slipping on my front step. So I ended up not going to work. Because I'm skilled.
Yeah, that's like an orangutan.
Yeah.
Definitely. I should also point out tonight that Tracy is joining us via telephone tonight. We lately have been recording using StreamYard so we can all be heard.
But it's not working tonight.
I'll be heard like we're in the same room, but for some reason StreamYard is not working on Tracy's computer. So
yeah.
We're going old school. So we hope you folks understand. Don't mind us. We're doing the best we can. Anyway,
we're trying at least.
Any new business before we begin? Or old business?
Not that I can think of.
It's just been a week.
Or
two weeks, yes.
And we keep getting sick.
It's been a period of time.
A short period. But anyway, what are we talking about tonight, ladies?
The flesh gate. It just sounds evil and wrong.
It does. It really does. It sounds a little dirty when you think about it. Have you ever heard of a flesh gate before?
I have not.
Okay. Have you ever heard stories about people who go into the woods and think they hear somebody they know calling to them, or think they see someone that they know in the woods beckoning for them to come to them?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that, in essence, is what a flesh gate does to lure victims into the woods.
Like will-o'-the-wisps, only something gross.
Well, will-o'-the-wisps would be a light
that
lures you to your death.
They leave people into swamps.
Yes. This is actually what, for all intents and purposes, is a physical entity. Most of the description I've seen kind of akin to the rake. You know what the rake is?
Yes.
Okay.
Vaguely, I think.
Tall, thin, gangly looking, kind of skeletal features. But
hang out in sewers.
Yeah, that stuff. Or at the foot of your bed. So yep. Let's just get into it. So not sure where the flesh gate originates from as far as the name. It's kind of akin to skinwalker when you put it together, you know, flesh for skin and then the gate for walking. So, but the creatures are often, they're referred to skinwalkers, but that's not true. Skinwalkers are extremely powerful Navajo shaman that can wear the pelt of a skin of an animal and gain its powers or abilities or even transform into them. Flesh gates, on the other hand, are humanoid creatures that are said to lurk in the woods and forests around the world, so they've never been human. These creatures are said to be capable of taking the form of people they see or kill, then can mimic their voices to perfection.
Look, it's an abnormal.
Pretty much, yeah. Sorry.
We've been watching Sanctuary, rewatching Sanctuary.
Old school over here, you know that. So, they're not perfect in every aspect, though. Flesh gates aren't capable of copying the mannerisms of those that they take the appearance of. As such, they'll often be very distant and lack any sort of personality whatsoever. While they do change, this quirk doesn't always go away. Now, as for how flesh gates obtain the form of someone, this varies. Some say that they kill the person whose appearance they take on. Others say that they can do it simply by looking at someone and that it's sort of camouflage. Pardon me. None of this is officially known, though, and as such, it varies very heavily from report to report. Of course, it's possible that there are different types of flesh gates out there. As for where the creatures lurk, they're, as I said earlier, located in the woods and forests of the world. Though some claim that they sometimes appear in rural areas, this appears to be exceedingly rare in my experiences of looking into the stories of these creatures. In spite of how vicious these creatures seem, what with them supposedly gaining their appearance by killing people, they seem fairly timid. Should one escape them and flee the forest, they'll rarely follow. In a few cases, though, they'll follow the person to their home and watch them as they sleep. Imagine that.
Gee, that's not creepy at
all. So the powers of flesh gates is something that varies a lot. All of them have the ability to shapeshift, though some are said to be capable of altering the perceptions and reality of those that are people who are camping, for example. To give the example, let's say that two of us, doesn't matter which two, were out camping with two other friends. We're all around a campfire roasting marshmallows, telling spooky stories to each other. All of a sudden, you start to see me or our two other friends start laughing uncontrollably. We fall out of our seats and roll around, laughing like maniacs. Soon, all you can hear is our laughter. It's ringing in your ears. You cover them, but the laughter grows louder and louder. You feel like your eardrums are going to burst. You fall to the ground and cry. Then all of a sudden, the world goes black. The next morning, you wake up in your sleeping bag. Your head aches. You crawl out and see our friends and I gathering firewood. Immediately, you ask what the heck was up with us laughing last night. We all look at each other, baffled. Finally, one of us speaks up and says, "What the heck are you talking about? You were bawling your eyes out looking at the fire." These powers aren't limited to manipulating reality for one person. In some cases, they can alter what everyone sees. So instead of the three of us seeing you crying, I may have seen us crying. One of our friends may have seen us screaming at the fire, and the other friend may have seen us groaning in agony. Others say that flesh gates can cause a deafening silence to overtake the world, causing the sounds of nature itself to cease. They can also completely alter what one sees. They have the ability to blend in with a group of friends or people without being noticed. Yet they can slip away undetected, kind of like the third man's room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
where was I? That's extremely fast too, being able to dart around at blindingly fast speeds. These powers, however, vary, though their agility is rather consistent. The nature of these fleshgate encounters seem rather reminiscent of missing 411 stories of people venturing into the woods to never be seen again. So they're kind of saying that, you know, it could be a case of missing 411. It could be a fleshgate. Could be both. So appearance-wise, fleshgates are said to stand at around 8 to 9 feet or 2.4, 2.7 meters tall. They're pale and extremely thin, sporting ridiculous long limbs. Some have said that their arms reach down to their knees. They're also devoid of hair. Kind of sounds like a rake like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They also seldom make noise, though it's been said that they can emit a ridiculously high-pitched shriek. It's also been claimed that they emit an odor so vile it can make you vomit on the spot. Don't do it, dear.
Excuse me.
Sorry, she burped as soon as I said that. So.
It was a quiet one, though.
Well, at least it was quiet. So, sightings of fleshgates are something that you can find rather easily, whether it's YouTube compilations of user-submitted stories on Reddit or on 4chan's KNX boards. There's a plethora of readily available encounters you can go over, though most of them follow similar patterns. A person or a group of people go out to camp while in the woods, something weird begins to mess with them. Odd stuff happens, and eventually the creature or creatures, there are cases where there are multiple fleshgates, attack, and then the people escape. One of the odder aspects about fleshgates is the lack of any real evidence for them. There are no photos or videos of them, as far as any of us are aware. Instead, there are simply the aforementioned stories, of which there are so many, one could quite easily make a 5-hour-long video on them. Now, that begs the question of whether a fleshgate is real, you know? Because there's no physical evidence, no video evidence, it's all just stories.
True, but then again, we've got the same, basically the same issue with Bigfoot.
That's true.
Because we have only a few fuzzy videos, which we don't have many of. We've got multiple stories of strong odors and bizarre activities. So.
Well, anyway, this leads us to the most important question surrounding the creature. What's their motive? This is an extremely difficult question to answer due to the number of theories that surround exactly what they are. In some cases, it's said that they're simply predators that like to toy with their victims. Others say that they're simply curious, whether malevolent or benevolent. Fleshgates are creatures with motives that never really act like any sort of known entity on Earth. So, overall, fleshgates are cryptids that are equal parts terrifying and fascinating. They're an enigma that always leaves one wondering about what exactly they are. So, let's explore a few theories involving fleshgates. Tracy, would you like to start with the first one?
Sure, but these are real. For our first theory, we have the idea that these creatures are real. While there may be no evidence that we can cement such a theory in belief, the fleshgates, remarkably, is large. In some circles, they've also been used to explain the various disappearances associated with David Paulides. Missing 411 series. If they're real, then what are they? Comes to question, and there are numerous ideas. They're demons. The next idea is they're demons. There we go.
Tracy, you need to back up on that. As soon as you start talking about demons, you kind of cut out there. Go ahead and start from there.
Technology.
Yes. So
the next idea is that they're demons. Whether or not you are religious, the concept of demons is one that can transcend all beliefs. The actions and appearance of fleshgates is something that one would associate with something as pure evil. As such, the theory is not only very popular, but fairly widespread. The theory that they're part of the natural order. Theory posits that if fleshgates are, in fact, real, they're simply part of this world and they have yet to be discovered by science, or they're being covered up to prevent mass panic, mainly due to how they affect tourism in some areas and force national parks to close. The next one is they're aliens. Very popular theory. This one posits that Fleshgates are aliens, given their inhumane powers, the ability to manipulate one.
Oh, sorry, Tracy's cut out again.
I swear, I'm online and everything.
Yep.
What's wrong with my computer today?
I don't know. Stupid, they just don't seem to like you. Anyway, you said, given their inhumane powers and ability to manipulate one's perception of reality, it stands to reason that they're quite literally not of this world. So you can go out from there and report.
Yes. However, given their extremely benign actions, should we believe that they don't kill anyone, it begs the question that what exactly are they? Others may say that they're planning on invading in the future. Whatever the case may be, the theory of them being aliens potentially answers some questions and raises a ton of others.
Yeah, you cut out a little bit on that one too, but that's all right. So basically we're saying that they could be aliens in this. There's, you know, we don't know about their actions or anything, and it's just another theory. Anyway, please continue.
Interdimensional entities. Wow, I can talk today. Extra-dimensional entities. Our next theory is that these creatures are from another dimension. Either they found a way to cross over due to advanced technology, or they have the ability to enter and exit dimensions at will. This theory is extremely popular among some due to the enigmatic abilities these creatures have and how they seem to defy all we know about this world. The next is they are mutants. Our next theory is that these creatures are in fact mutants, whether made by a government or mutated due to some sort of horrific accident that occurred in the past is still up for debate. But given the generic appearance of contemporary media, Fleshgates bear an uncanny resemblance to mutants.
Okay.
The next is escaped government creations. Speaking of mutants, the final theory, if they're real, is that they escaped from a government facility. Given the number of cryptids that are...
Tracy, you're gone again.
Given the number... it said given the number of cryptids that are said to have been made by the government, such as the Chupacabra... Go ahead.
Such as Chupacabra, Goatman, and the Dover Demon, it's no surprise that Fleshgates would be part of this theory. But is there any truth to it? That depends on whether any of these government conspiracies are true. This, of course, is a very subjective theory. They're legends. Another round of theories. Products of stories like Skinwalker and Goatman fuse into one terrifying monster. Due to the prevalence of our internet in our lives, they've become so well known that they've seeped into the minds of younger folks who mistake common things, such as bear, deer, or something else, for something extraordinary. There's little more to it than that. Now, in the way of evidence, there's a lot to work against the existence of Fleshgates, whether that be the lack of photos or videos or the homogeneity of the stories. Being the creature's attraction to small groups as opposed to large crowds. This could be a simple cliche. It could be tulpas. One thing is true about Fleshgates is that many modern stories about them appear as internet creepypasta tales. However, if enough belief is generated in the stories, there are those who believe in an entity known as a tulpa that could be willed into existence. Tulpas, as we have talked about before, are a concept originally from Tibetan Buddhism
and found in later traditions of mysticism and the paranormal of a materialized being or thought form, typically in human form, that is created through spiritual practice and intense concentration. Modern practitioners who call themselves tulpamancers use the term to refer to a type of willed imaginary friend, which practitioners consider to be sentient and relatively independent. Modern practitioners predominantly consider tulpas to be... they consider tulpas to be a psychological rather than a paranormal concept. The idea became an important belief in Theosophy. Slenderman began life as a creepypasta, but since stories about belief in the creature as real began to spread, reported real encounters with Slenderman have increased. Could this be true of the Fleshgate as well? Tracy, are you back with us again?
I don't know.
Okay, let's just continue on. Adrian, you want to go from that point?
Where am I going? I lost my place because I looked up.
Okay, I'll keep going from there.
Just show me where.
We got this together, folks. Really, we do.
Yeah, right.
Right there.
Okay, thanks. Okay, I don't want to start coughing, sorry. As odd as it may seem, I genuinely believe that Fleshgates are real. There's something about the number of stories that make me stop and question if there's this enormous subculture in the realm of the paranormal and cryptozoology that loves to make up stories about these creatures, or if there's truly something out there that is truly out there, roaming the forests of the world. I find the former of these two to be oddly difficult to buy into. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't believe every story is legitimate, let's face it. That'd be wildly foolish. If we're to say that everyone who says they saw something in the woods was a fleshlight, then Fleshgate, excuse me, then...
Boy, did you mess that up.
Oh, God.
Sorry, folks.
I'm tired and not making any sense. And
the word is Fleshgate, dear.
Fleshgate, yes, I'm tired. Everyone who says they saw something in the woods was a Fleshgate, then we may as well also say that Tom Hanks is an alien from Humea. As such, I want to just stress that no, not every Fleshgate story is something that I believe is legitimate. However, in spite of that, I do think that they're real. Something inside me truly believes this. As I've always said, I think this world is far bigger than anyone could ever imagine. Perhaps I'm delusional, perhaps I'm foolish, or perhaps I'm naive. Though I genuinely believe this. Mock me all you will, but it's how I see our world, and likewise it's how I see Fleshgates. Now as for what they are, I believe they're a part of the natural order in some capacity. Our world is massive, and while most of us never see outside our hometown or home city, let alone home country, however, you could lift every single human on Earth into the state of Texas or Indiana, and it still would be overcrowded. So when I say that I believe that our world is bigger than we think, I mean that metaphorically and literally. Earth is enormous, and I can't help but think that there may be something out there capable of doing this. Though, hey, maybe I'm just a fool. I'll leave it up to you to decide.
Well, I don't know about being a fool, but you definitely had a Freudian slip there.
Yeah. When you first started talking about that, it might popped in my head earlier. What the heck is he talking about?
I said Fleshgate. I never said Fleshlight.
I never said you did. I said that's what popped into my head the first time you said it.
Sorry, folks.
It was an accident.
Definitely a Freudian slip.
The Freudian slip is showing. Freudian slip is showing.
Cover up. But anyway, I've lost track of what we're doing.
Conclusion.
Yes.
Conclusion.
Whether or no Fleshgates exist, personally confident they'll remain something of a don't do that.
You almost did it.
Yeah, well. They'll remain something of a horror icon on the internet. They're among the most popular figures in the realm of creepypastas.
Right?
Yes. Horror. Yes.
It didn't sound like that.
The possibilities for today. We are a family show. Stop that. The possibilities for terrifying imagery and scenarios is limitless. Though that's just me. What about you, dear listener here? Do you believe they're real, or are they but the creation of a clever writer? Who knows?
I can't breathe.
I think that since we've seen rakes caught on video, that Fleshgates are probably out there just as much, but are better at hiding or better at camouflage.
Well, you also have to take into account what the author here said, that for all the population, even in just the United States, it's still pretty sparsely spread out. Mm-hmm. And there are areas where no man has gone before. I mean, areas in the woods, for example, like our very own Sierra Nevadas. There's places in that no one's ever explored. That's why we get all the Bigfoot sightings and everything. Nobody knows if their Bigfoots are actually there or not, because nobody can get in there to find them. And if they get in there, they're not going to find them because the woods are just too dense.
Even if they get lucky enough to find them, they won't survive.
Maybe, but it's just the thing that the woods are so dense that the Bigfoot could hide in it very easily. So why not a Fleshgate, you know?
Exactly.
So, sounds like you're back with us pretty well there, Tracy. Would you like to talk to us about the first encounter?
Sure. Fleshgate Encounters. Angeles National Forest in California, Rex Reynolds, Sarah Mitchell, and David Thompson had a heart-stopping encounter with the Fleshgate almost 10 years ago. Yeah, sorry, almost, at this point, 11 years ago.
Yep.
Despite the scary moment, these brave explorers managed to come...
And there she goes again.
She goes again.
Oh, my goodness!
The brave explorers managed to come out without any harm, is what she was trying to say. Go ahead, Tracy.
On a sunny afternoon, specifically on July 21st, 2013, which is my daddy's birthday, the trio set off on an exciting adventure deep into the breathtaking Angeles National Forest. Towering trees and stunning views provided the backdrop for an experience they would never forget. As they went further into the wilderness,
And she's gone again.
Oh, boy.
For God's sake. A strange feeling of unease. Yes?
Yes, yep. You're good.
Settled over them. It felt like the forest was holding its breath, and they sensed something they couldn't see. Curiosity pushed them forward, unaware of the terrifying encounter they were about to face. In the heart of the forest, they heard a voice calling their names from all directions. Confused, they looked at each other, trying to figure out where the calls were coming from. The enchanting yell. Sorry, enchanting yet unsettling voice.
Hold on. Tracy, start at the beginning of that paragraph.
With fear gripping them, the hikers cautiously followed the enchanting yet unsettling voices. Suddenly, in a sunny spot, they saw the Fleshgate appear. It was tall and slender, with eerie eyes that seemed to shine from another world. Its appearance matched what the others had described. A tall, thin creature with pale skin that stood out against the green forest. The Fleshgate showed no signs of wanting to harm them. Instead, it seemed curious and watched them with an enigmatic gaze. The hikers watched it both in awe and fear, their hearts racing with the mixed emotions. After a few intense moments, the creature vanished into the forest, appearing quickly as if it were never there. The hikers looked bewildered, but relieved that nothing bad had happened. They hurried back to civilization, eager to share the extraordinary story.
Okay. Well, we got through that part. More or less. I think at this point, I'm just going to let everyone know we're going to take a short break here just to kind of see if we can get back on track. Sit tight, folks. Give us just a second. Okay, we're back. We think we fixed the problem with Tracy's phone. We hope.
I pray.
Yep, hope and pray. Anyway, we're going to have Adria read the next story. Go ahead, dear.
Something Mimicked My Mother in the Woods by Into the Airwaves, State, Ohio. Okay. After browsing this website and reading dozens of stories, I finally decided to post one of my own. I've actually had several paranormal encounters over the years, but this one has always struck me as particularly bizarre and frightening. This incident occurred sometime in the fall of 2006.
Let me stop you for just a second. I should point out that several of these, like this one, did come from Reddit.
Okay.
So.
I didn't know that.
That's why you're getting the writing, like, okay, I decided to post to this website and all that. These are actual Reddit stories. I tried to edit that out in some places, but I missed a few. But anyway, go ahead.
Are we sure it's okay to go?
Yes, you may go.
Okay, I grew up in a rural part of Ohio. My house had fairly dense woods located directly behind it. As a child, I had a passion for exploring. I especially loved exploring those woods. It was my favorite place to be. Prior to the incident, I had wandered through those woods many times, always with my mother's permission. There was one tree in particular that I frequently enjoyed to climb, usually about to the halfway mark so I could perch myself on one of the heavier branches and just relax as I listened to the peaceful sounds of nature. Climbing that tree for the first time was quite an accomplishment. From that position, I could partially see the back of my house. On that day, after a fair amount of exploring, I carefully scaled my favorite tree. I seated myself on a sturdy branch and took in the view. Naturally, being late in October, the sun inevitably began to set within a few minutes. I always felt a little saddened to see the darkness approaching. The woods were like my own little sanctuary. I could entertain myself out there for hours. When darkness began to fall, however, my mother would stand at the edge of the woods and call my name until I obediently returned home, so not to be stranded out there after dark. After watching the sun set until I could no longer see it, I began my descent down the tree. I was nearly to the bottom when I heard my mother's familiar voice calling my name. I thought nothing of it at first, as this routine had occurred plenty of times before. Then I realized something strange as my feet touched the ground. My mother's voice was coming from behind me, deeper in the woods, rather than toward the entrance where she always stood when she called me home. My mother had never entered those woods before, at least not with me. I was eager to find her and show her all my favorite spots before it grew too dark. That's when I realized something was off. How could she have gone into the woods ahead of me? Certainly I could have missed her, but as I said, she never entered those woods. She continued calling my name, but there was something strange about it. She sounded absolutely frantic, almost angry. Fearing that I was in trouble for reasons currently unknown, I froze in place as her voice drew closer. I squinted my eyes to see if I could locate her and determine exactly how angry or upset she appeared to be. However, I didn't see anyone or anything unusual. Suddenly, I heard her voice calling my name from the direction of the house, sounding much calmer. Seconds later, from somewhere within the woods yet again. It wasn't an echo. I wasn't imagining things. I was literally hearing her beckon me from the edge of our backyard as well as ahead of me. My legs suddenly turned to jelly. I couldn't quite comprehend what was going on. Come here right now, the voice that I originally believed to be her screamed from just ahead. I realized that whoever or whatever was mimicking my mother was drawing closer. I didn't question which voice was actually my mother's, as there was something about the way it sounded that unnerved me. Terrified of what I would see if I stood there much longer, I turned around and ran toward the exit of the woods as quickly as my legs could possibly carry me. It was amazing that I didn't trip over anything in my haste. Even though my house wasn't very far away from where I had been standing, those woods had never seemed larger to me than they did in that moment. From behind me, my mother's voice continued to call my name, now sounding desperate. Panic set in as my actual mother finally came into view, waiting patiently as she usually did until I returned home. In my frightened state, I absolutely refused to look back. As soon as I was out of the woods and in the backyard next to my mother, the other voice was suddenly gone. Rather than fading away, it seemed to stop the very moment I stepped foot in my backyard. I must have looked as frightened as I felt because my mother asked me what was wrong. Slowly but surely, my panic subsided. I didn't say anything until we were safely inside the house with our doors locked. I asked my mother if she had entered the woods. Appearing confused by the question, she told me that of course she hadn't. With that confirmation, I hesitantly asked her if she had heard anyone else calling my name and yelling. The answer to that question was also no, although I was still very much shaken up. I managed to explain everything that happened as clearly and rationally as possible. My mother was surprisingly nonchalant about the whole situation, explaining that I must have imagined it, that I was spending too much time out there by myself. The incident in those woods have stayed with me to this day. I can still hear that voice as clear as a bell. Whoever or whatever was calling my name sounded exactly like my mother. But I know it wasn't her. Not only was she waiting for me outside, but the voice also sounded strange in a way that I can't fully explain. I didn't go back into the woods until I was 17 years old, and even then, I never hung out for very long. I've carefully gone over every possible explanation, but none of them seem entirely plausible. It certainly wasn't my mother playing a prank. There was no way she could have pulled it off. Not to mention the fact that she'd never been one to play pranks. I also highly doubt that if anyone else, because I stated before we live in a rural area, the closest neighbor was at least a mile away and I wasn't personally acquainted with any of them. How could they have known my name and where to find me? We've since moved out of the house, but my mother and I occasionally discuss the incident. She still claims that she never heard or saw anything unusual out there. I know it probably shouldn't, but what happened in those woods continues to bother me. I spent many hours out there prior to that day and never had anything out of the ordinary occur. The best explanation I have at this point is a doppelganger or possibly a demon, but I'm unsure. If anyone has any possible explanation as to what might have happened, I'd love to hear it. Thank you for reading.
So now let me ask at this point, have either one of you ever had that situation where you're out in the woods and you hear somebody calling you, but it's from the wrong direction?
Not yet.
Yeah, that's good to know.
I used to hang out in the woods near my grandparents' house, so no, not yet.
I don't do woods anymore. I don't do camping anymore.
Yep, you're a total suburban housewife.
I used to go camping. I can't lay on the ground anymore. There are things that I just can't, my body is just not handling anymore.
Fair enough. Of course, we're old people, so that's got a lot to do with it.
Yeah, we're old and broken.
So, Tracy, you want to give the next one another try?
I can try.
Okay. So far, you haven't cut out, so of course.
This is from Reddit's No Sleep, Dark and Creepy. If you hear voices or crying coming from the woods, never follow them.
Dun, dun, dun. Historic
from what? Huh?
I said dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. Dun dun.
No, we're not doing that.
Historic from one of the families here, who we'll call the Jeffreys, name withheld, about a beckoning voice from the woods near their home. One evening they were having a barbecue in their backyard, and there were about six of them all together. They had two children, with the younger being only a year old, while the other one was around five. It was later in the evening when the five-year-old went looking for cool-shaped rocks. So he was doing his five-year-old, while he was doing this, his five-year-old mother's, the five-year-old's mother is keeping an eye on him. But the year-old baby begins to cry, who is being held by her father-in-law. So she quickly rushes over to help her baby and forgets about the boy who is now ever so slowly wandering away. That's when they hear the voices whisper from the woods, calling out to the boy, saying something similar to the child's voice. Johnny, come play with me. I have plenty of cool rocks for you over here. The boy's father jumped up as he heard the faint whisper and immediately screams for his son to come back. The thing then copies the father's voice, yelling the exact same phrase. Johnny, come back. Don't follow the voice. At this point, everyone's freaked out looking for the boy, but staying relatively close together so no one would end up missing. They heard crying, but no one knew what to do because they knew the rule of never following it, but the child was now lost and had no other choice. So the father of the boy runs inside and comes back out with a 12-gauge shotgun. They follow the cries behind him as they edge close to the woods, calling for the boy. As they get close, they come up on a tree that seems to be where the crying seems to be coming from. The father takes the lead and jumps to the side and to one side of it and finds his son huddled up grabbing the tree for dear life. Johnny opens his trembling mouth saying, Dad, there's something over there calling for me. I can still see it. The father swiftly turned his head to where his son was looking but saw nothing out of place. Here, son, let's take you back to the house. You'll be safe there. His father said as he handed the shotgun to his own father and picked up his son. Dad, it's following us. Johnny said as he squeezed his father's arms tightly. Don't look at it. Just tell me about your favorite food, his father replied in a worried, loving manner. It looks like mommy, Johnny stated quietly, and this then shivers down his father's spine as everyone heard what he was saying, but every time they looked back to see it, nothing was there. They all went inside and after that haven't had a barbecue outside since. There are also the few ones who actually raised the children here due to how dangerous it is to have them wandering about. They're also, I guess it's supposed to be one of the few ones, like a few families, that have dangerous that is to wandering out. The children, even though they were born out here in the country, have been stuck in the house for nearly their entire lives. It's sad but understandable why they must take that precaution, because kids are so innocent and trusting. So when the voice that sounds like their mother or a friend is calling them, they'll most likely listen to it and follow.
That really sucks if you're a kid.
Yes.
Not being able to go outside because the flesh gate's going to get you.
It's a little creepy.
Just a bit. Okay, well, I guess it's my turn to this point.
Yep.
So let's do one from May 1400 is the author of this one. This is 5 years ago. They put this on Reddit. It says, a 15-year-old girl from North Carolina, the United States. I was 15 at the time of my encounter and was definitely not a believer in anything supernatural, paranormal, or anything of the sort. It happened while I was at a local summer camp. There was absolutely nothing special about the day. No weird lights, people, animals, sounds, nothing. It was just the same camp schedule as I'd grown used to in the past 2 weeks I'd been there. My age group had just finished lunch and was able to persuade our counselor to let us play a game called Scatter Down by the Lake. It's like a giant hide and seek in the woods. because that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Now, we had played this at least 20 times before that day, and nothing weird had happened to any of us. And we all grew up playing in the woods, so it's not like we had an aversion to, or fear of it, you know. But for some reason that day when our counselor shouted scatter and I ran to find a hiding place, it became a whole new ballgame. I'd run as far as I could while still being able to see the lake, as were the rules, and had found a huge old uprooted tree that I decided would be the perfect hiding place. So I lay down as close as I could against the ground and waited. I'd been there for about 5 minutes when I suddenly heard a voice calling my name in a weird dreamlike voice, and not just any voice, my mom's. Now, me and my mom are extremely close, thick as thieves, so I'd know her voice anywhere, and I would swear on my own grave that it was without a doubt hers. But I knew it couldn't be her. She was 20 miles away at work. And even if it had actually been her and she'd come to pick me up early, the voice was coming from the lake. It was coming from further out in the woods beyond the border of the camp. I knew I should have run away from this strange mimic mom voice, but I couldn't. It was almost hypnotic. It messed with my thoughts and gave me doubts like, well, it could be mom, or what if she's hurt, and I have to go get her. All these things were flooding into my mind like someone had broken a dam I didn't know was there. But they finally overwhelmed me and emotions got the better of me, and I took off running in the direction the voice was coming from. Big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So I ran as far as I could with only this strange voice as my guide. I couldn't have run for more than 5 or 7 minutes when I got to a clearing and the voice suddenly stopped. When I entered the clearing and didn't hear my mom's voice calling me anymore, could I finally think clearly again? And started to have little alarm bells go off inside my head saying, you idiot, or that's not mom, and run. But I couldn't run. I didn't know where to run. I'd gotten so far away that I had lost sight of the lake by camp and had absolutely no idea where I was. And I was completely exhausted to boot. With no other options than to sit and catch my breath, I did just that. No sooner had I sat down, more warning bells went off in my mind. Quickly, I did a 360-degree survey around the clearing and noticed a strange noise. It wasn't the continuation of the voice before, no. It was the distinct sound of chattering teeth like you were cold, only there was no one else around, and it was the middle of June in North Carolina. There's no way someone could be cold, and that's when I heard it. Leaves and sticks crunch on the edge of the small clearing, and I realized something was watching me. And then whatever it was moved as and fast in circles around the clearing. Excuse me. Sorry about that, folks. And then whatever was moved and fast in circles around the clearing, almost like it was circling prey. And it was at that moment I knew whatever it was had led me out there away from the rest of the group. Exactly like the predator my instincts had been screaming at me that it was. Without any other option other than to try and escape, I took off in the direction I thought I came from, sprinted as fast as I could, all the while hearing the chittering of teeth and sticks crunching behind me. I didn't know what to do. I didn't dare turn around to see what was chasing me. I knew that if I did, I would slow down, and I absolutely would not. It felt like a lifetime running away from this thing before I finally saw the lake, and even though I didn't think I could run faster than I ever have in my life when I broke the tree line and ran to the lake where I knew my friends were. At that point, I felt safe enough to stop and look back and see just what had been chasing me. But when I did, I only saw a fleeting form running back the way I had come and the distinct sound of chittering teeth. When I finally found my counselor, excuse me, who was the seeker to find all of us, I was hysterical with fear and hugged her as tight as I could. When I finally calmed down, she tried to get me to tell her what happened, but I just asked, were you calling my name? Before she even said anything, I already knew the answer. After all, it'd been my mom's voice that led me away from everyone else, but what she replied to me was so much more bone-chilling to me. She told me, no one called for you. We didn't know you were gone. Everyone's still hiding. The game isn't over yet. Dun-dun-dun!
Dun-dun-dun!
So, okay. Yeah, that's a little scary.
a bit, yeah. Just a bit.
I think mostly what's in this story would scare me the most is the chittering teeth.
Yeah.
Can't think of anything in the woods that would do that. Anyway, who'd like
certain to... birds, squirrels make weird noises, too.
That's squirrels true. Squirrels chitter. Could chitter.
The one that likes to shake his
yeah, we know.
His stuff at me, he chitters all the time. He thinks it's great fun to show off his stuff. I'm not kidding. He stands up in the tree if he sees me coming in the tree by the garage or the tree by our house, and he chitters at me and waves it at me.
Well, he's a little nuts.
He likes you.
Weirdo squirrel. weirdo cat.
So who'd like to do the next story?
I can't.
I guess
breathe.
I can.
Okay, if you would, please.
Sorry, I'm not breathing so good.
So this is from author unknown, from 3 years ago almost. My girlfriend and I were playing miniature golf the other night, and when we got to the back of the course, we noticed an area behind it felt creepy and strangely still. After we finished playing, we walked over there to check it out. There used to be a restaurant there, but it's been closed for a while. When we first walked up the hill to the parking lot, I felt, as it were, a blast or wave of energy coming from back of the empty restaurant. I said, "There's a lot of energy over there." My girlfriend pointed at the back of the restaurant and said, "Over there." We began to walk back there, thinking we could possibly find anything concrete to pin the feeling to. As we walked back there, I saw movement from the loading bay. I assumed initially that a homeless person was sleeping there and we disturbed him. But as I turned away, I saw another movement, so I did a double take. My girlfriend also saw the second movement, so we both looked towards the person, except we didn't see it. What we saw wasn't a person. A skinny, pale, sickly, yellowish, white figure, bald-headed and without discernible face, had risen up from over the seemingly sleeping homeless person and turned towards us. It seemed to be wearing a large, long black cloak or cape from which its skinny neck and somewhat disproportionate head emerged. The head was smaller and slimmer than the human size should be, and I'm not sure if the cloak was black or clothing or some element of its body. Whatever the case, it seemed as though we'd interrupted whatever it was doing to the person in front of them. There was a sound of liquid streaming onto the concrete or something. We immediately turned and walked away. My girlfriend told me afterwards she was afraid to run because she thought the thing would give chase if we did. It very much seemed to us, whatever the thing was, it was feeding on the person there. I'd estimated to be at least 5 or 6 feet tall, but because it was crouched over, it's hard to say for sure. I'd certainly never seen anything like it, and was trying to do some research to see if anyone had reported seeing something similar. The closest I have found yet are flesh gates, though there are differences between what we saw and some of their descriptions not reported. For instance, other than the sound of hissing liquid, we didn't hear it make any sound. Also, it was either wearing an unusual item of clothing, or also was large and black, darker than the shadows that it was in. I thought to call the police because it seemed to be feeding on otherwise molesting some homeless person, but I didn't do so in case we were misunderstood that what we saw, I didn't want the guy to get harassed by cops if we were wrong. We went back the next day, and there's absolutely nothing there. No evidence that anything or anyone had been there. No evidence that anyone had even camped there. We have a fair number of homeless in my town, and I'm not accustomed to them cleaning up their campsites so perfectly during the day. The only thing there was a fairly tall pile of rusty metal flakes from the loading ramp, as though someone set them up into a mound for some reason.
You know, I feel silly. I thought I had more story than that tonight. Usually I can do this many pages and have a nice, full, stretched-out story. But I think it's got more to do with the fact that we're all still a little ill and not spending a lot of time jabbering back and forth like we normally do.
This is true.
And for that, I apologize, too, because I think that's part of the fun part about our podcast is when we do stuff like that.
People find us amusing.
Yes. So I'm sorry if we don't amuse tonight, but I hope you got some information out of it just the same. So, what are your takes on this fleshgate thing?
Creepy and gross.
Do you think it's real?
I think it could be.
Okay, what about you, Tracy?
I think it could be real. I mean, it's got as much proof for fact as we've seen of other, woods adjacent things and.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not doubting it just because I haven't seen it. Then again, I'm not doubting a lot of things I haven't seen.
We're open-minded, but cautiously skeptical.
Fair enough.
At least that's my take on it. I'm open-minded. I think it could be real. I would be cautious going out in the woods.
Well, at least it's not the cryptid that's so ashamed of its appearance that it cries all the time.
Which one is that?
I think it was called the Gully Wump. I don't remember.
The Gully. Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen some artist renderings of that thing.
If I ever thought a cryptid was real, the only one I thought that was real that there's any proof of is, I mean, other than Bigfoot, is Rhindocus.
Skunk Ape. They've got the print from Skunk Ape.
Well, it's still there.
That's
with
what,
the
Georgia, I think? South Carolina?
Florida, all that stuff.
No, Kentucky? No, I'm trying to remember where the Skunk Ape.
The southern states.
Somewhere in the southern states, yes. They got the footprint with the thumb out to the side.
That's the southern Bigfoot,
basically. That's Skunk Ape, though. It's the one that eats cats. And,
you're arguing semantics. It's the same. It's the same thing. It's a Bigfoot-type creature.
Yes, it is.
Called the Skunk Ape.
Yes.
Why are you arguing?
I'm not.
Okay.
Why are you overly sensitive?
Because I don't know. I've been sick.
So have I. Join the club. Thank you, Jaden.
Sure, just call him out.
He's the kid that keeps getting... My fever. I keep getting a fever. It comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. And it's getting ridiculous. It can't make up its mind to stay away or kill me.
One extreme or the other. Okay. How about you, Tracy? How's your RSV, by the way?
I feel much better. The baby is up to running again. She cut a tooth yesterday!
I saw.
Oh, boy.
I usually don't get on Facebook, but I saw the post with your finger shoving up on the tooth going, look!
Yeah, you might not want to do that for very often anymore.
Yeah.
Fingers in the mouth
of
a baby
with
cutting a tooth. Yeah.
Sharp tooth toddler.
Not mama's tooth, yeah.
That's just it though, is my fingers are in baby's mouth constantly because they're chewing on me. I am the preferred chew toy.
Yeah, but you may not want to be that now.
I'm used to it.
Okay.
I just think about, yep, that's an owl. We'll move over here. Thank you.
Yep.
Look at this.
Anyway, I think we're done for the night.
Thank you for putting up with us and our techno foo and our everything tonight.
Yeah, I was going to try and do more, but with Tracy being a master of techno foo tonight and us being ill, we're just going to kind of cut it for the night.
Hey, at least our voices didn't crack tonight.
Nope, but we coughed a bit. Sorry about that again.
Sorry, guys. We're still sick. Whatever this is, it's hanging on for dear life.
But we're going to go away. We're going to come back in a couple weeks, hopefully a lot healthier.
Oh, I pray.
And I hope you look forward to seeing us then. Until then, everybody, stay spooky. And
cue
the gremlin.
What in the Podcast is a part of the What in the Podcast Network and is available on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other great podcast formats. You can find us on Facebook at the What in the Podcast Facebook group. If you have a great story idea or have a personal paranormal event that you want to share with us, email us at whatinthepodcast@gmail.com with your story, or you can leave us a voice message by clicking the link in the episode description. If you like what you're hearing, please don't forget to leave us a review and rate us 5 stars. It doesn't seem like much, but it helps us more than you can imagine. What in the Podcast is also made possible thanks to our sponsors and listeners like you. Thanks for listening.